The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. God, we just praise you for your word. We just thank you, Lord, for your light and your salvation. Lord, that you've poured out for us and on us. Lord, I pray this morning that you'd open up your word to us, that you'd help me to speak and say the things that need to be said. Lord, I pray that you would be the one actually who's doing the speaking this morning. Lord, just let me hear your voice. Let me understand and know what it is that you're saying. And Lord, help us to be challenged, to grow, and to know you more. Lord, open up your word to us. Hallelujah. Give us light in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. There's a lot of times in the scriptures there are things that are said that can sometimes be contradictions, or not contradictions, but it's kind of like, well, is it this or is it that? And a lot of times God says, yes, it's both. Like, for instance, Jesus says, I'm the light of the world. Well, who's the light of the world? Well, Jesus, because he said so. But he told his disciples, you are the light of the world. So which is it? Is it Jesus or is it us? The answer is yes. Amen. So let me just talk about Jesus being the light of the world. Most of us understand that, but in John chapter 1, right at the very beginning there, John says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it or did not overcome it. The light shines in the darkness. When Jesus came, he came to shine the light of God. He came to shine the revelation of God's gift of salvation to people. Amen? And when he came to do that, it was light shining. One of the things that I was impressed with as I was kind of reading and studying and looking up different scriptures that have to do with light, a lot of stuff in the Psalms have having to do with where the word light is used. The word light is used in a way that says it's revelation, it's understanding, it's illuminating something that's hidden. Amen? And so Jesus, the light of the world, he came to this world. Later on in that same chapter, it says, you know, he came to his own, but his own didn't receive him. But he said, but to whoever did receive him, he gave them the right to become children of God. And Jesus came to shine, to reveal, and yet there are people, well, see it every day, people who reject the light, people who reject the truth of God, who reject that Jesus is the only way. Amen. But he is. He is the only way. John 8:12, then Jesus spoke to them again saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Again, it's he who follows me. These are talking about the disciples of Jesus. It is talking about the followers of Jesus. Those that follow him, they won't walk in darkness. It means that there's revelation that will come. It will help them to understand the ways of God and just what God is saying, what God is speaking. Amen? He says, I'm the light of the world. He who follows me, they won't walk in darkness. You know, Jesus said that his sheep hear his voice. A stranger's voice they won't follow. But they will listen to his voice. That's out of John 10:10. You know, as long as I'm in the world, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Well, Jesus, in a certain sense, is in the world even today, but he's in the world through his disciples, through his followers. Amen? Because God is making us more like him. He's creating just a group of people who look like him, who talk like him, who think like him, amen, who shine the light of God, just like he did when he was here on this earth. Hallelujah. And so Jesus then, in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, it says, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden." Jesus said, "You're the light of the world." You know, well, maybe I'm assuming too much, but sometimes people will say, "Well, Jesus, come and do your work." And I think sometimes Jesus whispers back and says, "I sent you. I sent you to open your mouth. I sent you to be a blessing. I sent you to be a comfort to the hurting and the lonely. I sent you to be an inspiration to those that are walking in darkness." Jesus said, "We're the light of the world. We are the light of the world." I mean, outside of Jesus, that doesn't make any sense. But with Jesus with us, with Jesus in us, we really truly are his light in the world. You know what? There's no other place in the world today that you can find where the revelation of God's plan of salvation is brought out like it is in Jesus and in the Gospels and in the followers and the disciples of Jesus. You know, there's a whole lot of theories, there's a whole lot of religions, there's a whole lot of ways to God, quote-unquote, ways to God, that people have either come up with, invented. You know, I call them the do-it-yourselfers. You know, you can do it yourself. You can make your own God. You can make him just like you want him to be. But God isn't like that. God is already who he is, and it is the way that he says. He says, "No man comes to the Father except through me." You know, the world will tell you, "Well, there's lots of ways. Just be good. And be even more good. Be very, very good." It's not enough. It's not enough to be good. The only thing that's enough is trusting in someone who is good. The one who died on the cross. The one who was punished for our sins so that we wouldn't have to be. Amen. Again, that's a revelation from God. And I want to talk about that a little bit. Let me just read Psalm 43 here, a short psalm. The psalmist says, "Vindicate me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. O deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man. For you are the God of my strength. Why do you cast me off? Why do I go about mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? Oh, send out your light. Send out your light. God, send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your tabernacle. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy. And on the harp I will praise you. Oh, God, my God, why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God." You know, that should be that's a great prayer. God, send out your light. Send out your light and let them lead me. Let your light and your truth lead me. Let it be the light of God that leads us. Amen. I'm going to just kind of talk about something right now that's just not quite in the notes, but I'm trying to formulate it in my mind. Let me just tell you a little story. Quite a few years ago, we had a lady here named Maria. Maria, was her last name Guerrero? Yeah. Anyways, Maria came to this church. I think we got to meet her because she was connected with the Jehovah's Witnesses, but she had a lot of health problems. And because of the rules, quote unquote, she couldn't have blood transfusions and she couldn't have various other things. And so a friend of hers, a neighbor who was a believer, invited her to church. She came here, and I remember Maria, sweet lady, and we were offering a class at one time. I don't remember what it was, something about Christianity or something. Christianity Explained, I think is what the name of it was. And I had about four or five people in that class when we were doing it, and Maria was one of them. And Maria came to that class, you know, a couple weeks into the class, And it really is a class that speaks about Jesus being the only way and about him paying for our sins and all of that. And I remember Maria one time sitting in the conference room with us. We were at a table together. And she started to cry. She said, "I never knew he did that for me." What she was talking about, Jesus dying on the cross, because we were talking about that. She said, "I never knew he did that for me." See, light and revelation came to her heart. She was bound up in darkness and religion and all sorts of other crazy things. But something happened. She sought God. She looked for God. She was hungry for God. And God met her with light and with revelation. And Maria, probably within a year or two, went home to be with the Lord. But she was an amazing woman who just loved God with all of her heart. When she came to Jesus, it was with tears. It was understanding what he did for her. And I think about that. That's revelation. That's how God opens up people's hearts and minds. And maybe that's something that we should be praying for. Maybe if you're in a place right now where you're trying to understand the ways of God and understand what it means about how to get to heaven and all of that stuff, pray and ask God to give you revelation and give you light. And for those of us who are praying for family members or friends or people that we know, pray that God would send light to them, that God would reveal himself to them. You know, when people continue to reject and say, "No, I don't want that, I'm going to do it my way," the light, the revelation of salvation doesn't come until people open up their hearts, until they say, "God, I'm not going to try to do it myself anymore. I've tried. That doesn't work." Amen. So I guess it would be a good prayer to pray for people who are just, they're sort of religious. They sort of go, "Yeah, well, the man upstairs," and you know, all the, they talk about God in kind of an impersonal, distant way. They don't know him. That's the reason they do that. But we should be praying for them that God would reveal himself to them. Just like he did in that story I shared about Maria. That one day God would come and visit them as they open up the scriptures, as they hear the things that we say, as we are praying for them, that God will reveal to them who he is. Amen. Because how many of you know you are not smart enough or strong enough, and neither am I, to convince someone to become a Christian? I can lay out the facts in front of them. I can read the scriptures. I can do all of those things. And you know, I know that there are certain giftings that God has, the gift of an evangelist that is special in that area. But yet it is God who reveals. It is God who saves. It is God who opens up the heart. Yeah, I remember. Can I tell you another story? Another one of those stories. It's from a long time ago, but and some of you have heard this story before. There was a young man named Bob, and he was part of a little home fellowship group that we had at the time. And I remember, you know, I was a younger Christian at the time. I don't know how many years I'd known the Lord already, but I remember giving Bob tracts, and I would remember reading scriptures to him, and it was just like everything that I sent his way just went right over the top, in one ear and out the other. He just didn't get it at all. And it was a little frustrating to me. I'm just going, "God, I'm telling him all the right stuff. I don't understand why he's not getting it." And I remember praying for him, and he went on some kind of a retreat. At the time, he was some kind of men's retreat from the church that he went to. And he came back, got back from his retreat, and he called me on the phone. He says, "Harry, I got to talk to you. I got to tell you what happened." "What do you mean, what happened? What happened?" He said, I was at this retreat, and they had this thing in the Catholic Church. They have this thing called Stations of the Cross. And he was walking from one station to the next, and he got to the place where that Station of the Cross they have is the crucifixion. It's Jesus on a cross. And I remember him telling me, and he was breaking up, telling me over the phone, he says, I never knew he did that for me. See, revelation came. Light came. If nothing else, if these little stories, these aren't about how smart I am. In fact, I understood in that moment when he talked to me on the phone, I went, God, I tried everything. And what a failure I've been. Yet, and I don't mean that in a bad way, but I was trusting in my abilities to get him saved, instead of trusting the God who saves to do the saving. Amen? It is God who saves. It is God who reveals. It is God who opens up eyes. And if I can say this to some of you who've been praying for someone or some couple people for a long time, and you just are frustrated and just not getting it, just give it to God. Continue to give it to God and trust God, because He is mighty to save. He's an awesome God. He is a God who can reveal Himself to people. It is the story of the Scriptures. The Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus, he is on his way to persecute some more Christians and throw a few more of them in jail. And God steps in. And Paul had a revelation of who God was, who Jesus was. Jesus said to him on that road, right there, he said, who are you, Lord? He said, I'm Jesus, the one you're persecuting. Again, revelation came. I'm convinced that until real revelation comes in the life of a person, until they come to that place of understanding who Jesus is and what He did for them on the cross, they will never, ever see heaven. It is the revelation of God. It is the revelation of Jesus on the cross, a Savior who died for them in their place. And without that revelation, I mean, that's the revelation. When that happens, it's what the Bible talks about in the new birth, in being born again. When someone is born again, that's what happened. Revelation came, insight, understanding to the heart. Hallelujah. God's word and God's voice bring light. Psalm 119. Verse 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Listen, we need revelation and light. I'm kind of going back to the believer now, the one who knows Jesus. You know what? Just because we got light one time 20 years ago or 40 years ago of who Jesus is and that He died on the cross for our sins doesn't mean that God has stopped revealing Himself to us. You know, it ought to be normal and natural in the life of the believer to be receiving revelation on a regular basis from God. Amen? And it says here, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. You know what? It is God's word. As we take God's word in, as we study it, as we look at it, and it's more than just reading it. It's reading it with a heart that says, God, show me something. God, teach me something. Show me something out of this book today. You know, when you sit down at home and spend some time in His Word, God, open up something to my heart. Show me a little bit more about what it means to live for You and how to do things and how to operate in this life. And you know what? When you take God's Word in on a regular basis, when you take it in and ask for His revelation, He'll not only show you what you should be doing, there will be some things that He will bring up, and He'll say, here's something that you've been doing that I don't like, that you should stop, that you should turn from. Amen? You know what I'm talking about. There are times when the Spirit of God convicts us and convinces us and says, You know, that's not right. Sometimes we have words that just kind of come out of our mouths that shouldn't. Amen. But God's word will bring us light. God's word will bring us His revelation. In Psalm 119, verse 130, the entrance of your words gives light and gives understanding to the simple. Hallelujah. The entrance of your words. The entrance of God's words, not to our brain, and that's okay. Good to have God's word in your brain, but God's word in your heart. Amen. That's what gives light. That's what gives revelation. Gives understanding. Amen. One other thing that brings light is righteousness. Righteousness opens up the door to God's light. And what do I mean by that? We throw around words like that sometimes in sort of a religious way. Righteousness. Well, doesn't that just mean doing what's right? Doesn't it mean doing what God wants? You know, there are a lot of things in the Scriptures that we look at and we go, well, I'm not quite sure what that means. But there are probably about 99% of the things that we read in the Scriptures that we know about that God says, this is what's right. Do this. You know, we've heard, you know, the Scriptures talk about Jesus saying, turn the other cheek and forgive and you know, live for me and open up your mouth and don't hide your light under a basket. All of those kinds of things. We know a lot of things to do. I will tell you this. If you will do the things that you already know to do, God will give you light in other things that you're not quite seeing right now. Amen. Let me just read these couple of scriptures here. Psalm 18, verse 28. For you will light my lamp, the Lord will enlighten my darkness. Amen. God will lighten our light, our way, our path, our understanding. Psalm 97, 11. Light is sown for the righteous, and gladness for the upright in heart. Amen. Light is sown. That means God is in the process of sowing light, spreading light, giving revelation. But it says here, light is sown for the righteous. Now, I know that the Scriptures say there's none righteous, but what he's talking about here, he's talking about those who have made it their goal to do the things the right way. To do things God's way. Amen? Light is sown for the righteous and gladness for the upright in heart. Psalm 112, verse 4. Unto the upright there arises light in the darkness. Unto the upright. Light comes. Understanding comes. Amen? To the upright. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. All right. Well, I'm talking about doing the right thing brings revelation. I guess I really have to give the other side of that. Evil deeds imprison people in darkness. People who will choose to do wrong, to do wickedness, to do things their own way, even when they know it's not God's way, they become prisoners in darkness. And I'll tell you what we need is the light of God. We don't need to be imprisoned in darkness. We need to be surrounded by the light of God, the revelation of God. Amen. John 3, from the area where we have John 3:16, for God so loved the world, John 3:19 and 20 says, and this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world. Jesus has come. Amen. And men love darkness rather than light. You know, sometimes you wonder, why do people keep doing the wrong things? The Scriptures tell us the answer, because they like it. Because they want to. Amen? They loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. When their deeds are evil, when they come to God, those things get exposed. Those things get put under a spotlight. And a lot of people are uncomfortable with that. Leave me and my sin alone. God, I'll come to you someday, later, when I've had a little bit of fun and lived a little bit of life. And Jesus says to some of those people, you fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Amen? Because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. Hallelujah. You wonder why people keep doing wrong? Because if they started to do right, they'd get light shining. And light is not... I remember walking into a place one time. It was completely pitch dark inside. And I flipped on the light. And all the cockroaches went flying. They went running every which way. They hated the light. I'll tell you what. Unfortunately, for some people, living their life their way, outside of God's way, is just like that. And when light begins to shine, they run rather than being exposed to the light, rather than letting the light transform them and give them revelation. Amen. John 8:12. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness. Mark that. But have the light of life. You know, when people say, oh, I love Jesus, I'm following Jesus, why do you keep doing the wrong things? Well, he forgives. He's okay with it. He loves me. I'm going to heaven. I'm just going, I wouldn't risk my eternal future on that. Hallelujah. I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness. Those who follow Jesus will not walk in darkness. Now, it doesn't mean that we won't every once in a while sin and mess up, and then we get right with God again. But if it's a regular practice of sin, if it's more sin than doing right, then how can you be saying you're following God? Jesus says, he who follows me will not walk in darkness. And so I want to conclude with a couple scripture verses really along this line that says, come to the light. Don't run from the light. Come to the light. I'll tell you this. I've been a Christian since 1979. I don't know how long that is, 40-something years. Jesus has never failed me. Jesus has never let me down. Amen. Coming to the light was the best decision I ever made. And I thank God for all of those people who prayed for me back then when I was a knucklehead, walking in my own way, when I had a do-it-yourself religion, and I had a way to get to heaven. It was good works and doing better than everybody else, or than most of the people. and yet, that wasn't the way. And thank God that I finally came to that place of saying, God, I'm sorry for my sin. Really, that's where people need to come to start there, to say, Jesus, I have sinned. Come and forgive me. Come into my life. Come and help me. Come and show me your light. He'll do that. Amen. John 1. Did I read that already? Yeah, I guess I did. I'll read it again. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him, nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. In some versions it says, did not overcome it. Jesus, the light has come. Amen. There's really no excuses. Jesus has come. He came once to save us, to die on a cross, to pay for our sins. He's coming again as the judge and ruler of the nations. Amen. John 9:5. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus is the one that we're to follow. Jesus is the one that we're to submit to bow down to. Isaiah 55:3. Incline your ear and come to me. Can you hear God saying that? It's not just me. It's not just somebody reading a scripture. Our Heavenly Father saying, incline your ear to me and come to me. Hear and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, the sure mercies of David. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And concluding from Matthew chapter 11, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Amen. I believe that God is calling, God is crying out to us. Come to me, all of you who labor and are heavy laden. Amen. The scriptures say, to whosoever will, let them come. Thank you, Jesus. Whosoever will. That's us. Whosoever. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. God, we give you praise and thanks that you are the light, that you are the revealer of the truths of heaven to us and to our hearts. And so, God, have your way in us. Help us, Lord. Those of us who know you and follow you, help us, Lord, to continue to shine your light into a darkened world. And Lord, for those that are hearing these things this morning who are not understanding light and revelation and how to get to heaven, Lord, I pray that you would reveal yourself to them as the Savior, as the Redeemer, as the Rescuer. God, just bless us today. Help us to recognize that you are the light and that we are your light in the world today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.